Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast. We are looking ahead to the weekend. It starts for real. And just as we talk, didn't think this man was going to be able to join us. Jono Bullard's here. Dan Green's here. Chris Gadsby's here. Chris, congratulations to you and Charlotte on the birth of Sophia. We're going to come to Ken Feast in a minute. He's not at home. But first, Chris, congratulations. Everything going well?
Thank you very much. Yeah, everything's going well. It's been a long week, but yeah, it's been great at the same time.
Wonderful. Well, let's get all the formalities out of the way first of all. Evening, Jono.
Evening, Chris.
Ken, you're not at home, but I think you're there. Can't see you on camera. Are you there, Ken?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just traveling, but I didn't want to miss out on the party. So, hi everyone.
What a guy. Joins when he's not even at home and he's on the road. And Greener, welcome, Greener. How do you feel about Ange?
He's your problem now.
Ha
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing to do with us anymore. Enjoy.
Hey, I mean, it's in one word, can he do well at Forest?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think he'll just, I don't know. It'll be really interesting because it's a bit of a different setup. And yeah, I think like the first year he was with us, we were really good. I think we finished fifth, like 2 points off the Champions League. And obviously the next year, obviously the league campaign was disappointing, but we abandoned that at Christmas because with the injuries, we just couldn't, you know. And obviously we know what happened in the league, but I mean, I think the players loved him. When he left, they had a massive outpouring to him. So it'd be interesting to see how he plays if he still tries the free-flowing, attacking, renegade style, or if he's maybe learned a little bit and he changes. So but I think the fans will love him and the club will love him. He's a very likable person. So
And any
and he's got a Europa League title to defend.
I said one word, and anyone count how many words that was? But anyway,
Oh, I can't talk about him in one
any
word.
hockey fan who perhaps doesn't know what we're talking about, Greener's favourite team, Tottenham, their manager, well, their former manager, who they sacked after winning a trophy, bizarrely, has now replaced the Forest manager, Nuno Espirito Santos, who left this week. So there you go. Anyway, let's get on to hockey, which we know you're here for. Let's start with the weekend and Saturday in particular. Let's go to you, Jono. I doubt you've probably commentated on a game where there's been four such beautiful goals. In a game, you might get the odd one and lots of scrappy goals, but for different reasons, they were four goals on Saturday because the performance wasn't perfect, and we'll touch on that in a minute, but the goals were of the highest quality.
Absolutely incredible goals. Starting with the first, that no-look pass from Chase Pearson to set up the move to Tim Doherty to pass over to Matt Marcinho for the opener was just a thing of beauty. And me and Mitch Bowler were talking about it today down at the rink about he didn't look, but he knew exactly where Tim Doherty was and where Tim Doherty would be to receive the puck. Just another level, an absolute another level. The two drop passes to David Noel was superb. Jean Borgorat with an absolute bullet into the top corner that I don't think many netminders would have got near, any netminder. It was so accurate. And then a lovely finish by Ollie Betteridge to finish it all off. And a great can slide between Matt Robson's legs to get the fourth. It was some real quality finishing. Really, really good to see. And nice to see the goal spread out again as well.
Ken, how good is it to hear your head coach when you've won a game 4-1? It's only pre-season, but he comes out and gone, yeah, it was okay, but there's lots of things I'm happy about. How good is it to hear that a coach isn't resting on his laurels and wants to see more?
I think it's great, and I think it's that. Yeah, it was interesting to see that. Obviously, Danny knows there's expectation there because of last season. He knows, where the club is. He knows the quality and the depth that he's got in the roster. And I think to see him come out of that, even after a victory, like you go home happy after that, to be thinking, right, this is where we need to make improvements. There's things we can do better, we can be tighter. I think it's great. It just shows really the fact that there's that, professionalism and that air of kind of what our potential is with this roster and how important it is to build on the foundations of a great year last year.
Greener, how important, I mean, pre-season's done now. I mean, obviously there's just really the final few bits of preparation between now and the weekend against Cardiff. How important is pre-season for a coach to get his message through? Obviously the returning guys know what Danny wants and Linton, but the new guys and everything. How crucial in a season is pre-season to get things in players' minds the way he wants it?
Yes, yeah, it's obviously massive. I think it's, getting the guys that haven't played in this country before, accustomed with the country and the rink and the league and, the staff and just kind of, you don't want guys showing up a week before their first, proper game. You want them in, you want them settled, their families settled. Like you said, it was huge this year having so many returning guys. That will make that process a lot easier. But the Elite League is very different to every other league, really, with the amount of games, with the emphasis being on that, winning the league rather than the playoffs, as much. So it's just getting that in guys' head. You have to show up every night. You can't really afford to lose too many games. Like you said, the systems, everything like that. So I don't always think it's imperative you win every game. I mean, obviously we pretty much have, but I think it's more about finding form at the right time, not getting injuries, getting guys, settled in the chemistry. But I think winning the games that we have, but also in the manner we've done it, is obviously very promising looking ahead.
TSGG, I know you've not seen all of pre-season for obvious reasons, but you've seen a bit and I'm sure you've kept up to date from afar. What sort of marker do you think the Panthers have laid down? Four wins, obviously the one defeat to Cardiff. And we've not really touched on the Cardiff game at all, have we? But the Cardiff game, I actually thought for the first period or maybe the first 10, 15 minutes, Panthers were well in the game. I thought they could take something from here. Cardiff were much more clinical than the Panthers. And on the night, they fully deserved the win. Ben Bounce had a great game. So, that's been the only reverse in pre-season for the Panthers. What sort of feel do you get now pre-season is over? And where do you see Panthers maybe being in the early stages of the Challenge Cup in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, the games I haven't seen, I've been watching the highlights. And as Jono said, the goals, particularly from last weekend, were so nice that if they can, do that in the majority of the games, they'll be in a good standing. I think Panthers are, yeah, they've started pre-season and should be able to kick into the Challenge Cup pretty well. It is what, 9 out of the first 10 again, isn't it, in the Challenge Cup competitive fixtures. So there's a lot of cup games to be played. And of course, that's had a slightly new format again, about the eighth new format in the last 8 years, isn't it, for the Challenge Cup. So they'll have to hit the ground running with that, as they always do in the larger group of six in that one. But I think they're in very good stead. And the games I have seen, I think at times that the D needs a little bit of sharpening up. Perhaps, but forward lines, once they start clicking, I mean, that third period in that opening game against Concordia, just scoring those quickfire goals, that's made Jono start his spreadsheet already this season of the quickfire goals. So I think they'll be looking for, to even increase that from last year. But Danny has said in his post-match interviews, there's plenty to work on. They will keep working on it, and hopefully that clicking will continue into the Challenge Cup games.
Depth scoring. I totally stole some stats from you when I wrote an article for the website the other day when you put that really useful little stat sheet up. Although I wish you'd put points. You put goals and assists, and then I had to add them up. Which, I didn't have enough fingers sometimes. But
There's only five games, Chris. It's not.
yeah, you know, it's going three plus three, one plus five. So anyway, no, very useful. What it struck me as I wrote it, because I was looking at it and suddenly I was like, oh, there's quite a few on five. There's your headline bit for the article. Oh no, there's four on six, or I think it was four players on six. So to have, I think in the end, wasn't it, four players on six and maybe two on five off the top of my head, I think that was it. That just shows a roundabout. I mean, obviously a lot of those points have come from that Lemos, Henbrand and
Limos.
Lemos, sorry, yeah, well done. Lemos, Armour, and Hembrandt line and a lot
Hembrandt,
of those points, but obviously the points have really been shared around, which is a great thing.
yeah, because well, you've got the Pearson Doherty, originally Fossier, then Martineau went on it on Saturday. They've all got a few points. Ollie as well, three goals over pre-season. He's
On
really found
different
his
lines as
score.
well.
Oh yeah, and he's really found his scoring boots. So yeah, I think it was one of the things that we pointed out when the roster was finished, that look at the forward depth here. That the forward depth is ridiculous. It's almost an embarrassment to riches when you look at it. And I'm not surprised that there's been so many points scored across all the lines, because the depth is there. It's great to see. It's great to have that amount of quality in your top three forward lines, because you can guarantee that at some point certain lines won't be firing in certain games or for a certain couple of games, but you know that there's the backup there to take the slack and take it on. It's very, very exciting times. But added to that as well, you've got what looks to be a very, very solid defence, really good quality netminding with Jason Grande and Kevin Carr. I think that's a phenomenal pairing in the netminding department. But also, you're going to get defencemen weighing in with points as well, as we've already seen from David Noel and Jean-Borg Gorat, and we know that Cooper Zek can put the points up as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of depth scoring this year.
That's interesting you say that, because a friend of mine was asking me for some advice about the fantasy team. In fact, I've been called out actually. I think I need to make a fantasy team.
Yes, yeah, you
Yes,
do.
which I will. I've not even had a chance to reply to the tweet, but I will do it, and I will do a, I think it's a £50 bet for charity with Simsy.
With
He's
Simsy,
he's obviously a rich man, but yeah, no, I'll stand up to that and do a £50 bet and get my team in. I think I've got till Friday. But anyway, a friend of mine was talking about a couple of Panthers players, you know, either or, and one was David Noel and Cooper Zek. Now, you know, based on last season, Greener, you know, Cooper Zek, we know can put up the points, but someone like David Noel is clearly already shown he's going to give him a run for the money to be top D point scorer.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, he's a massive addition. I think obviously they will be, no disrespect to the others, but they will be one and two in our D scoring, I would imagine. I think Cooper, I would think Noel will potentially get more goals, but I think points, I think Cooper just gets so many assists, and he'll probably play a little bit more on the power play, maybe just like a little bit longer every time. So I would go with Zek probably for points. But you know, me and Jono have almost like laughed about, you know, how hard Noel shoots, like some of his cannons on the power play. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of goals as well. So I think they will be two of the top scoring D in the whole league, never mind our team. But yeah, I'll have Cooper finishing slightly ahead overall on points, but I think it'll be quite close.
Ken, to you now, and I forget when we talked about this, whether we talked about it on a post-game podcast or whether we just talked about it, me and you, or in a group of people or what, but have you ever known a sort of buzz about the team this much in pre-season? There's, you know, every team, I think, at the start of the year, wherever you follow, there's always that pre-season optimism. Of course there is, you know, that's what's the beauty of sport. But you go around the Motorpoint Arena, and I feel like it was maybe a post-game podcast, Ken, but there's no harm in saying it again because people might not have heard it. You go around, people have got smiles on their faces, people are anticipating, you know, the next stage of the pre-season, then on to this regular season getting underway. The buzz around the arena, not just amongst the players and obviously the team, but the fans and the feel in the Motorpoint Arena, it really is something special, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and I think it's you can feel it. And and what's nice is we had a huge amount of positivity and buzz as we, you know, particularly in that run after Christmas to the end of the season. And I think we what's amazing is that we've kind of continued that, and that vibe's still there. I think I'm not a, you know, I always struggle with the pre-season. I don't know if anybody else feels the same. It always feels like that thing of you almost go, well, if we do all right in the preseason, well, you don't want to be preseason champions. You want to do well in the regular season. And then you're like, if you don't do so well, you're thinking, then you're nervous about Yeah, how much of a barometer is it for how you're going to actually play? You don't know, but I think the different there's two kind of differences, I guess, for me in terms of how I feel about this team going into the regular season. I guess number one is that buzz that we've continued and that positive momentum, and I think that comes from retaining the coach, not having to have a complete fresh start. The fact we've retained the core of players, the fact that we've kind of we're picking up almost where we've left off. I think that the other thing is just that the fact that you probably look and always go, we've always had two solid top lines and then two lines where you're like, okay, maybe, whatever. It's that kind of additional depth of both on up front and D, and a really solid, British core as well, that you think, right, yeah, there's a in you think there's a real kind of extra. I just feel like we've gone up an extra level, and the ability to retain that core has allowed us to do what we've seen maybe other teams do that we just haven't managed to do. We've kind of selectively gone, right, this is the areas where we can. I don't want to use the word upgrade. I think that's disrespectful. Because, but where are the areas that we can make a tweak that's going to benefit how we like to play as a team and the other players on that team that we're retaining? And I think that's what we've done. And it feels, from everything we've seen so far, where we've had adversity, we've bounced back the following night. We seem to, there's a hunger to improve, and that's good. I think there's definitely all those guys, from what I can see, bonding really well. And a definite high standard in that room for what's expected, not only of the club, our expectation on the club and the fans' expectation, but the expectation that I think they have for each other and for themselves.
It's a very, very good point, may I say, Ken. And it is drilled in, Omar Pasha, I don't think I'm giving too much away. When there's induction day, he gives a speech, and some of us have seen it a few times now. And, he and I think we've touched on it before, he drills into them the importance of not just playing for yourself and the team, but the importance of playing for the city. And you can feel that players buy into that. And that's been very evident, especially in the past few years. And as you say, these new guys are, already on board. I mean, I thought, Chase Pearson on the Home Bench podcast with Lucas Sheldon, gave a really great account of himself. Real honesty, definitely a character. We all know that, but real honesty. And you can see that he's a player that, yeah, I think the dressing room's going to love him. I think the Panthers fans will love him. Probably other team fans won't love him, but he'll deal with that. He clearly says he's not going to care. And I don't think one Panthers fan will care if he's not liked. Greener, but just on to that thing about
Just sorry,
pre-season.
just
Yeah,
just
Ken,
just
you
before you
jump
move on
in.
to that point, just sorry, just you make that point around the induction and obviously and the biggest thing, and it says a lot about who Omar is as a person as well, and kind of the culture that he brings. But one of the biggest points there is about yes, you do play your game, bring the best of yourself there for the team, but be humble. Stay humble. That humility around no one's bigger than the club and the club goals. And I think that's the thing that just comes through from that stands out in that induction and hits those the guys that have not been here before, but also you can see that in the players that we've retained. Very talented, but also a level of humility as well, which I think is so important.
I think that's really, really true. Greener, the thing I was going to say to you was about pre-season. Do you think players, do they probably not get hung up on pre-season? So if you win 5 out of 5, they probably don't think they're world beaters. But if you lose 5 out of 5, they don't think that they're duds. Is pre-season genuinely, it feels like it is just making sure you're prepped. What I'm trying to say is players don't read too much into pre-season, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the be all and end all. I mean, I'm sure there's been loads of teams that have had, a terrible pre-season and then gone on to win things and maybe the other way around. But I think with players, a lot of it is about feel and confidence. And, I think the players will want to, from game 1 to 5 of pre-season, want to feel better and better every game. feel like the chemistry's coming, the team's getting better. It's kind of like a, you know, it's a marathon, isn't it? It's a slow improvement every game. But, you know, also, as much as people say it means nothing, I think if we'd lost all five games and only scored five goals, there would already, you know, things go into panic station quite quickly. So I think, you know, it doesn't mean we're going to win the league necessarily, but also, you know, we've won four or five and we've played really well and we've scored a lot of goals and, you know, we still don't even have our captain playing yet. So I think, you know, everything is positive. But no, you can't read too much into it, but I would certainly rather be winning four out of five than losing four out of five.
TSGG, we talked about you love your fantasies and your predictors. Have you done a fantasy team?
Not yet, no.
You
Been
got you
slightly
going to.
preoccupied, but no, I'm
Oh
gonna one
yeah.
now.
It's a good point. And your predictor league started now, has it?
Yeah, so we've got 140 people
Hey,
in that
very
league
good.
now. So you can, yeah, still sign up, and you've got to midday on Saturday to get your predictions in for Saturday night's games,
So is
plus your final league standings and cup winners for bonus points.
It is literally every weekend you have to predict the weekend's results.
So it's what you think the score's going to be, and whether you think it's going to be in regulation, overtime, or shootouts, and you get bonus points if you get that right as well.
And the prize at the end of it, a night out with a
There
beer
are
with you.
prizes. There are prizes. There is a mystery box from Slapshot Vinted, if
Okay.
memory serves me right. And then there's a runners-up prize as well, which does elude me off the top of my head. But
Yeah.
Sophie has sorted that one
Yeah.
over on TikTok.
So it's not a night on the beer with you if you win.
No, it's not a night on the
No.
beer with me, no.
Might not enter now.
Nah, me, I'm out.
No. Let's go to Ollie Betteridge, whose testimonial was announced a while back, but things were ramped up this week with the announcement of the game. I'm staggered. Over 1,000 tickets sold on day one. I've been involved in. Oh, how many testimonials now? Six? I can't. Six or seven? Six probably. I've never known anything like it. I'm going to go round each one of you to talk a bit about Ollie before we finish now. Jono, I mean, there's many reasons why 1,000 tickets have gone on day one, but at the top of that is this fan base is love and respect for for Ollie.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he, what is it, 10 years? I remember him just as a kid in a face cage coming in to play for the team, and now here he is, what, one of the leaders. He's been the captain while Matt Alfaro has been absent. And yeah, just a great guy, a really good player. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's been an absolute credit to the jersey over the years. That he's been with the Panthers, and he fully deserves this recognition and his testimonial.
Greener, what's he like in the room? You reveal that. We see the Ollie on the ice. What's he like in the room?
It's funny actually, because he's, I mean, obviously, as everybody does, as he's got older, he's definitely, you know, opened up and come out of his shell more and more. I mean, obviously, the first couple of years here, when he started playing with us, you know, really quiet. Obviously, he was only sort of 16, 17, 18, probably when he was playing properly, you know, just kept himself to himself. And, you know, when he was around sort of like me, Lacko, those sort of people, he would open up a bit. But, you know, in front of the older guys, he was very quiet. Whereas like now, I'm sure you all know, you know, you're in the room quite a lot. He's kind of the, maybe not the life of the party, but he is, you know, he is like that leader. He's been here forever, and he definitely takes on that role of, I never thought he'd be like that. I always thought he would be quite quiet and shy, but he's certainly grown into, you know, a leader. I think ever since that kind of COVID year and on, he sort of got propelled into that role, and he's, you know, all of a sudden he's not the young kid anymore. He's always almost one of the older guys on the team. So, but I think, like John said, he's just a credit to the club, isn't he? It's not so much his on ice necessarily, but, you know, not just that, but, you know, the way he is with the fans, and, you know, the media and sponsors, he's just kind of just a model professional, isn't he? And you can kind of, you know, you'll know more than me on that side of it, but you can ask him to do anything and he'll do it with a smile on his face. And he treats everyone the same. So no, he's a credit to the club.
It's like this podcast is produced, so let's bring it onto the media, bring it onto Chris Gadsby. How do you find him to deal with someone? Again, he's very easy to speak with. He actually, I mean, he doesn't realize actually how good he is in an interview. He gives a very good interview, and he's someone that when he talks, he's a very interesting listen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's Nottingham Ice Hockey through and through, isn't he? Right the way from, as Jono said, being a youngster and now having so long at the Panthers. Yeah, he speaks very well in interviews, but then at the end of interviews, he goes, "Oh, was that okay? Was that all right?" And he's like, "Yeah, that was a really good interview." And he always speaks really well. And I'm really excited for this testimonial. Really interested to see, who comes along to it, who takes to the ice, and it should be a really fun evening.
Ken, are you looking forward to it? What are your thoughts on Ollie?
Yeah, well, I mean, everything that's been said, there's not a lot more to say about it. I think everybody summed him up as as both a character and a hockey player and a professional. I think that is, professional through and through, and can't speak, too highly of him. But I think the chance to support him at this point in his career with a testimonial and, make sure that that gate, not only the game, but the other events that happen as around the testimonial. Yeah, there'll be a dinner, there'll be some other things. I think with the timing of the testimonial game being when it is, I think a lot. Yeah, he's had different. I think was it Steve Lee's testimonial where there was like a summer lead up, and then events went on, and then the game was sort of at one at the other end. Whereas this is probably going to work a bit the other way around, where it's almost like the game happens, and then there's going to be events through the testimonial year, and onwards there. So everything's different. Be interesting to see what format he goes with, but hopefully something, interactive and something where there's a lot going on, and maybe similar to, I enjoyed particularly Matthew Mize's testimonial, so see if he decides to do something similar, or bring his own flair indeed to it. So I'm excited about it. I think it's an opportunity for everybody that's involved with the club as well to help out and kind of give something back to Ollie for his long service and everything that he's done for the club. So no, it's really excited about it, and not long to wait, is it? What, about 6 8 weeks, something like
Two,
that?
two, yeah, two
Whatever.
months. We've got a lot to cram in 2 months. Yeah, but Tuesday the 18th of November, there will be a dinner on around. It's still to be confirmed, but there will be a dinner, most likely Monday the 17th. Final plans to be announced very soon indeed. I don't think that'll be a shock to anyone because the dinner testimonial format's been one we've used in Nottingham for a long time. We hope to have an announcement on that very soon. But yeah, absolutely. Credit to the club, credit to Nottingham, is Ollie Betteridge, and to have 1,000 tickets gone on day one, I know it's blown his mind. But that's humble and modest Ollie for you. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that they went that quickly. I was going to wrap it up, but it strikes me we've not talked about the weekend. What sort of Cardiff team do you think we'll see? Greener, let's go to you. Obviously, we've touched a bit about them. I feel like it's kind of deja vu because we talked about them last week. They clearly don't travel well to Nottingham. We know that. That's pretty obvious. But this is a different team, so it starts again. It kind of starts afresh for them. But I don't know how, if you saw any of the goals or anything from the Cardiff Panthers game earlier in the last weekend. But what Cardiff do you expect to come into town that day?
I think it'll be a very fired up Devils team. I mean, obviously for both of us, first game of the season. The last time we played them in this building was the playoff final. As you've said, obviously traditionally they don't do that well in the arena, but they're always a top team. I think they're a very, with Tomo at the helm, they're going to be a very physical, hardworking, aggressive team. I think it's going to be, you could say us and them maybe the two best defensive teams. They'll be very good defensively. We obviously are as well. So I think it'll be low scoring. I think it'll be quite an intense one. I think, it's the first proper game. It's kind of the levels built up over the last couple of weeks. So I think it'll be a, really interesting game. Like I said, I think it'll be quite low scoring, quite a close one. But I think whatever happens, it'll be, a real fun game. And what better way to start the sort of the hockey properly than have sort of two of the biggest teams in the league playing?
And Ken, five former Panthers coming back. I mean, we joked about the Clan having lots of former Panthers, but you've got coming back Mark Richardson, Brett Pelini,
May.
Mosey,
Christoph Gontos.
Contos, and then the fifth one, which is the one people forget, of course, Ben Bounds, who played in the Elite Series. I mean, he did. He was a Panther. I remember. I mean, I used to joke with Bouncy. I've always wanted to see Bouncy as a Panther. Known him a long time with GB. Always wanted him. Always went on him about saying, "Surely, mate, come and join the Panthers." And then he did just for the COVID series. But yeah, it would be great to see, so many former Panthers back in the building.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and it's always an entertaining game when the Devils come to town. I think it's got an extra spice this year with the return of Tomo. Not just obviously the return of the former Panthers players who will have a thought about the impact they want to make on the game, but also the fact that you got the Tomo situation. Obviously, he. You know, him and Danny Stewart obviously no strangers to one another, and there's that kind of I guess hierarchical thing there as well, as they look across the benches at each other. There's
Yeah, you mentioned
obviously
that.
the physicality that they're going to bring as well. It'll be interesting to see how that translates on the big ice as well, and interesting whether we see Cedric Lacroix as well, because I think he didn't do his fingers any favors in that fight against Josh Tetlow. I think he didn't play the following night, I don't think, and he
Did he know? Oh, okay.
I don't think I'm not sure he did, and I think he had to have one finger taped to the other because one was facing the wrong way when he'd finished the fight. I think he got caught in Tetsa's jersey, so it'd be interesting to see whether he's in the lineup or not, and just really to see how we match up, especially at home where touch wood, our record against the Devils is positive. See how that translates into this season with a probably a heavier a team from Cardiff that play heavier and want to make an impression on the league in that first game.
Two questions to go. So you've got about a minute each. And Jono, yours is going to be on Guildford. But Chris, it'd be nice to see Christoph Kontos back in the building. I hesitated earlier because I nearly called him Konstantin Kalmykov, which is nowhere near, but they're both KKs. I mean, literally, I sat there and I was just about to say, in my head, I was like, Constant, no. Anyway, Konstantin Kalmykov, for those who don't remember, was, oh my God, a skillful winger that played for the Panthers in the late 2000s. What a joy he was to watch. I think he ended up in Hull, didn't he, near the end of his career? But yeah, what a great player he was. But yeah, Chris, great to see Christoph Kontos. You've got about a minute to say your nice things about Christoph. But great to see a playoff winner back in the building.
Yeah, absolutely. We just hope that he doesn't get a penalty shot throughout the course of the game because we know how lethal he is on those. But it
Well,
will be
we know
great.
he's
It
going
might
five
be
holes, so the goalie should be fine.
well, very true. Will that maybe help slightly, Danny? Because having someone like that, they know how he wants to play and
Maybe.
things like that. It might help the Panthers out. But yeah, it's going to be great. I'm sure he's going to get a good reception from the Panthers fans, even though he is now wearing a different jersey. And hopefully, it will still. Well, wish him all the best for the season, just not on Saturday.
And just finally, we've got another game on Sunday, John, of Guildford Flames on the road. Just very briefly, what do you think? Have they upgraded this season about the same? How do you feel they look?
I don't think they look as deep as what they have done in previous seasons, if I'm honest. They've not had the best pre-season. I think I'm on a forum and there's quite a few of their fans on it, and they were not happy about the sort of forward depth and the lack of goals they were scoring in pre-season. So it'd be interesting to see how they perform now that it's become real. And so, yeah, I think interesting game on Sunday, especially as both are playing Saturday night.
Yeah, fascinating. Gonna have to wrap it up there. Listen, guys, thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks to all of you, especially Ken. I think you're still in your car. You probably got somewhere to go in. Appreciate that you've joined us, Ken. Thanks to everyone for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you after the game on Saturday for the post-game podcast.